Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of The Takedown, a Jackrabbit Illustrated podcast focused on South Dakota State Wrestling. Once again, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Jordan and Alex. Hi, guys. How's it going? And we're also joined by our special guests, Clay Carlson, Tanner Cook, and Tanner Sloan. How you got fellas doing tonight?
Great.
Yeah, pretty good.
Thanks for joining us. Hey, this is not the first time for any of us on this podcast. Normally, we kind of go around and ask questions, but I'll just ask this question. Any shout outs you guys want to give since you're live on the air?
In front of our tens of fans.
Hey, there's 24 people online.
I think my mom might be on. So, hi, mom.
Is her name Jen?
Yep.
Jennifer. Okay. Yep. Yeah. I saw her tweeting the thing. So, I was like, I wonder if that's his mom.
Yeah.
So, hey, Jen. Alex, you got anything for the guys to start with?
I don't know. There's so much to ask. First and foremost, Mr. Sloan, congrats on a big weekend. And yourself, Mr. Carlson, and Mr. Cook, you didn't wrestle this weekend, but it's still good to see you.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Maybe we'll start there. How do you guys feel your seasons have gone? And there's not many events left, but what are some maybe things on or off the mat these last 4 or 5 weeks you're looking forward to?
And these general questions, let's just go in order of weight class to make it easy.
All right, that works.
That's good. Well, for me, my season has been pretty dramatic so far, I would say. You know, up until this year, I've actually never missed a duel for the 5 years I competed. And now this season, I think I've missed 4 duels now, if you don't count any of the Dakota Showcase matches. And so it's been interesting emotionally and mentally for me as I've dealt with injuries and infections and things that I've never dealt with before last season. And so to be where I'm at now is really exciting because I just went out to Wyoming and got 3 matches in this weekend and just crushed everybody I wrestled, which was really fun. At the same time, it was like, I'm watching the duel after I got done wrestling and, you know, just like heart wrenching to, you know, see all of my teammates putting it on the line and thinking I could be there right now. Right. And you don't, there's no guarantees that I'd make a difference, but you always have that in the back of your mind. Right. And so, one thing I've learned this year is how much I appreciate the team that we have, because it wasn't like it. The way it is now when we first got to Brookings. Right now we have like a really close group of guys that we all get along, we wrestle for each other, we all support each other, and it hasn't always been that way. And I've learned to really appreciate that this season as I'm going out there thinking, all right, this is my last, you know, away duel of my life, right? And so, yeah, it's been a challenging but very rewarding season so far, and I'm really excited for the postseason, so.
Alrighty. I've had kind of a similar season to Clay in a way. I had a back surgery right after NCAAs last year, and kind of got banged up again this year. And I'm unsure as to how my life will be when I'm done wrestling in regards to like what I'll have done right after the season and whatnot. So it's been a rough season for me. I spend the majority of my time off the mat, which kind of sucks because I want to get better at wrestling, you know, and in order to get better at wrestling, you have to wrestle. It's not like you can go run on the treadmill and all of a sudden you're really good at wrestling. So I spend a lot of my time in the mornings with Cam Simez. Actually, every morning at 9 a.m., we're doing just the most random things to try to strengthen my back and my hips. But I think the hips is because he's trying to get his stronger from his hip surgery. But I've just been trying to get my body healthy for March. I know I would like to have wrestled in some of these duels and done better. Like Clay says, I almost came back because of our team. It's just incredible kind of like how our team is molded together compared to what it used to be. And no one really cares in a way. It sounds bad to say, but about the duels, like, yeah, we would have loved to have Clay at our duel. I would have loved to have wrestled. Would have been a tough one for me, but it would have been great to have Clay there, but in all reality, by the time NDSU rolls around, no one's really going to care that we lost to Missouri. And then also, even further than that, when we get to the Big 12 tournament or national tournament, they want national qualifiers at the very least, All-Americans, national champs. And if we do that, then we'll have a good team finish, and then that's kind of just what it all comes down to and what people really care about, especially the true wrestling fans. So I'm excited for it.
Yeah, so I've been in their situation just previously 2 years ago with injuries and emotions, mentally, physically, and it's tough, and I feel for them. So it's kind of a, you got to deal with it, but you do what you can do, and you know you finish your career out with no regrets. And for me, I mean, I've had a pretty good year, I would say. You know, I've took one loss in the Vegas, but you know, ultimately that kind of refired me a little bit for the rest of the season. And you know, just kind of training each day as I don't have another day, I don't have another season, you know, so the days that go by can't be made back up. So my mindset has kind of changed a little bit going into this season and the last, you know, month of my career, as far as like, I'm going to do everything possible to accomplish one of my goals. And then, you know, with that being said, like, as far as a team, like if I can do as best as I can for myself, I know I'm ultimately helping the team out in that factor as well. So that's just kind of how my senior year is going. But as far as a team perspective, man, it's been awesome. It's probably my favorite team for sure. In the 6 years I've been here, you know, we have a culture. We've kind of shifted the culture and changed the culture. Us three, this group of seniors, you know, we started together, and you know, it's just been, you know, one of the biggest reasons as well, as what Cook said, is why I want to be back here as a Jackrabbit. And you know, that goes to the coaches and the recruits that they bring in and the rest of the teammates that we have that, you know, have the same goals as us and look forward to seeing what some of these younger guys can help push this team in the future. So that's my take.
So as you guys all kind of look on to bigger and brighter things, I guess, after college wrestling, as they say. I don't know if life gets any better after college, but that's what they say. What do you guys feel strongly that you guys set the right culture for this team to succeed for many years as you guys go?
I would definitely say yes. I mean, I think about you know, the incoming freshman classes that we've had since, you know, Tanner and I's class when we got here in 2018. And it seems like all of the guys that maybe aren't the best for our culture and our atmosphere tend to be the guys that end up either quitting or transferring. And that's just the way it's been. It's almost like a natural filtration system where it seems like the guys that don't fit in with the system that, you know, Coach Han and the rest of staff are building just kind of realize that maybe this isn't the place for them. And a lot of times it's something where they're just like, this isn't the place that they want to be. And so most of the guys that we have on the roster right now, if not all of them, kind of fit the mold in terms of what we want for, you know, personality traits and just the moral system behind the guys that are on the team. And so it's really changed a lot in the last 6 years, but we are at a point now where it's like, I mean, every single one of my teammates I would consider to be a great human being, and it's really fun to just interact with all these guys. So.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I always didn't fit that, I guess, stereotype. I would say that our coaches, you kind of adapt, or you just kind of leave in a way. Like, we have a lot of diversity on our team for a lot of reasons. But I would say that in a way, they kind of can like institutionalize you, you know, like when someone kind of like goes to prison and you come out and you're supposed to be a change man, right? Like I went from just being like, I've gotten horrible grades at one point, and last year I got a 4.0. I'm getting my master's. I didn't even think I was going to graduate college. I don't like get in trouble. I go to church sometimes, even like, not that that's everything, but I've like, they've done a good job, and I think they do a great job in molding these kids that might not have even the best direction, or they might have not had the best hand of cards. They might have been had a rough life, even for some people, and just turns them into respectable young men. I think one thing that I would recommend that we might try to work on a little bit harder is maybe getting some connections post wrestling for our wrestlers to kind of get an employment specifically in the Brookings area. Because when you look at all the best teams, they have past wrestlers, or they don't even have to be training for, you know, like the Olympics or world teams or anything like that. But just to be able to have guys come in the room, like we have like Luke Silverberg's in there all the time. Like he goes and does his normal job, and he comes in and still whoops up on guys. And he can't, as soon as he walks in the room, usually even before he gets there, he's already got a partner. Someone's texted him and asks if he's coming to practice. So I think that would be great for our program to, you know, try to find some employment opportunities around here. I know that Brookings is kind of small, but to keep some of the guys around, because as we were saying before, that's not talked about enough. It's like, what are you going to do when wrestling's done, right? For most of us, it's all we've known for 20 years. And then you go to college, like you get your degree. These guys got some good degrees. Me, maybe not so much, but I would stay in Brookings for sure. Like if they wanted to keep me around, you know, and it would be great. It'd be great for the program. Brookings is an awesome place. And I think that, I mean, I think our coaches do a great job with everything. I just think that that's something that would be awesome, you know, to have guys have an opportunity to stick around and have a decent job and be able to do the things that they love, like wrestling, and help out the team that ultimately made them successful in life. So
I guess, I mean, they took most of the words that I was going to say as far as a culture standpoint, and how our coaches develop us as not only athletes, but, you know, people in society as well. And, you know, the great thing about Brookings is the community and the support system for, you know, Jackrabbit Wrestling, but also the other athletics. And that's where I consider like Brookings my home now. I've been here for 6 years. I live, you know, probably 90% of my time in Brookings, you know, the other 10% on the road or in Iowa back home with my family. But that's just kind of the culture and how I've developed over the last few years of being a Jackrabbit. And, you know, goes back to, you know, mainly the coaches developing us as, you know, young 18-year-old men to, you know, mature. You know, we're 24, Cook's 25 in a couple of days, right, Cook?
Happy birthday upcoming.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I guess I don't have much more to expand on that part of the culture standpoint as far as where we've been and where we are now.
Maybe we should switch to a snake distribution so you have to answer first after Clay answers first. Otherwise, he steals all your thunder. So yeah. Maybe we'll start with you then this time, and we'll go back the other way. I'd like to first just say thank you for all that you've done for the program, because as you know, well, we had Damian on last week, and we talked a little bit about how barren the cabinet was, so to speak, for Jackrabbit Wrestling when you guys came in. So you guys really... I mean, I know he helps direct things, but you guys are the ones that set that culture, and winning is a culture too. And you guys have exceeded at that. And so,
well, you know, I mean, winning's contagious, right? You know,
right. Exactly.
When you have guys, you know, you have 10 guys in the lineup and you're winning, you know, we 10-0 Kent State, I think it was earlier. So like, you know, it's kind of a snowball effect as far as, you know, winning when it comes that way. And, you know, everyone wants to win, so everyone's going to train to win. So, I mean, that's just kind of the culture. And if you're not training to win, so what are you doing, you know? So that's just a, you know, a fun way to look at each practice and workout. Sorry for cutting you off, but yeah.
No, by all means, I'm going to let you talk. People aren't here to listen to me. They're here to listen to you guys. But, well, going down that same path, Tanner and Tanner and Clay. Maybe there's one thing that you didn't expect in your career that helped you become to have that winning culture in yourself. Tell me maybe what that was, something that, you know, gosh, I didn't expect this to be the thing, or maybe somebody told you and later on you realized, yeah, that's really what it was. Is there anything?
I think I've changed my perspective after a season of injury and falling short that way. You know, when you don't get something you want, you've got to change. And so, I mean, I think one of my biggest setbacks, but yet set forwards, was my shoulder surgery in 2021. And that in the COVID year, right? That was kind of the mixed year in between, a weird season. And, you know, you put so much in it for that whole summer because we had no idea if we were going to have a season. And then, you know, I make the blood round and lose. And it was just kind of a heart-wrenching, you know, moment. And then the following year, I had a decent season and I get to the national tournament. I go 1-2. And I'm like, I'm way better than a 1-2 guy. So it's just kind of those setbacks that ultimately kind of get you. And that's kind of where I've noticed a perspective change in the way I've changed from the previous years to like a season like last year where it was one of my best seasons yet. So.
I know I have an answer for this one. I don't know if
Tanner just got cut off twice.
Yeah. I don't think I had too much for it anyways, honestly.
Mine is definitely going to be very unique to me, but I remember after my redshirt freshman season, so the first season that I started in the lineup, I was one place away from qualifying for nationals, which the tournament got canceled that year. So, I mean, it is what it is, but still, that was my goal, to make it to nationals, and I was, you know, just one match away. And I remember sitting down with Coach Saez, who I know I listened to the episode that you guys had him on, and I'm sure you realize how analytical he can be. He's very, I don't know what the right term would be, but he definitely analyzes things from a business perspective. And he was talking to me after that season and he was like, Clay, would you rather work for a hardworking, smart manager, a lazy smart manager, or a hardworking dumb manager, or a lazy dumb manager? And I was like, well, I'd probably want the hardworking smart one. And he's like, that's where you're wrong, Clay. He said, you probably want the lazy smart one because he's going to find the easiest way to do it. And you're not going to be wasting effort and energy doing it, you know, the tough way, I guess. And I had never really thought about it like that. And basically what he was trying to infer was that I don't have to like smash my head through a brick wall in order to get better wrestling. I can be smart with my training, keep my body healthy, and become more efficient with the way that I wrestle. And all of a sudden the next season, all of a sudden I started seeing myself, you know, getting guys more tired. I wasn't getting as tired. And next thing you know, I end up winning a 20-minute match in the blood round and I All-American that season. And so for me, it was definitely just, you know, tweaking my mindset a little bit into thinking, how can I become the most efficient, instead of just thinking, I need to work harder. I need to work harder. Because when I did that, I was just wasting energy because I'd take bad shots and I'd try and just get strong. And it's like, I mean, I'm just going to be honest. I am not the most athletic. I'm not the strongest and I'm not the fastest guy in my weight class. Right. So I need to find ways to utilize my strengths so that I can beat guys that are stronger, more athletic and faster. And so that's kind of what, you know, Cam and I talked about that. And that's kind of been pivotal in my training since then. So sorry, Tanner, to cut you off, but now you can give your spiel.
No, I mean, I don't have too much. I just, I guess one thing that changed my perspective is kind of corny in a way. It's just how fast it really goes by. You know, like you were saying, how you almost qualified for nationals your freshman year, COVID year. I did, and it got canceled. And we had, you know, Zach Carlson, a guy that I really looked up to, was just an absolute monster on the mat. I'd never seen him show any emotion at all. And he's like crying his eyes out. in the corner because he's just devastated because he was going to All-American 100%. And I was just sitting there like, oh, geez, I got, you know, three more years. And come to find out, I've qualified one time since then and had a really rough go as I was waiting on getting back surgery. And then here I am now having probably the hardest season mentally and physically that I've ever had, or maybe it might even be the hardest thing I've ever done in my life is trying to get through this season. So I think that my perspective has changed. And Coach Han always used to say it, you know, like, you know, be serious. Like you're supposed to have fun when you're in college, but you have the rest of your life to do, you know, the things that most college kids want to do. So it goes by quick and take it serious and embrace like all the traveling, everything that comes with it, the wrestling, you know, it's, because someday it's definitely going to end, and it's coming to an end now, and it's kind of starting to set in, and it's kind of hard to accept in a way.
Yeah, I definitely could understand those emotions. We're going to throw it right back to you, Mr. Cook. You're going to be chance to lead here, and I had a question canned up, but it ties into Mr. Korneman's comment question here. He wants us to hear about the time you foot swept Coach Han. And on that note, my question to all three was whether it's a current coach, past coach, current teammate, past teammate, who is like you're walking in the room and Cook, you're with so and so today, who are you just like, oh man, today's gonna suck. For the three of you, who is, like I said, over your career, past, current teammate, current coach, former coach, who's that been? And if you want to add some context to Mr. Korneman's comment as well here, Mr. Cook, it'd be appreciated.
So my perspective has changed, like, when I walk in the room. So when I first got here, if Coach Simon said that I was with him, I used to try to leave practice. Like, if I was wrestling with him. There was multiple times where I tried to escape the room where I was in fear for my life. Now it's like, it's great. When Coach Caldwell runs practice now, it's like, he's not going to bury, like, he's not going to get his hands on you, but it's going to be really, really, really hard. And I used to be afraid of Cade King as well, but we don't have to get onto that topic too much. He used to just come after me like crazy. Him and Henry Pohlmeyer was another one. Just crazy tough dudes that they want to wrestle, and they want to wrestle hard, maybe even fight a little bit. But I mean, it makes you tougher for sure. As for the foot sweeping, we were down in Virginia, and I didn't have a warm-up partner because I warm up or it was day before we wrestle. And my weight was pretty good for the most part. And I'm only on the mat a few times a week. And Coach Han's like, well, why don't we wrestle? And Coach Han has never wrestled with me before. We've never drilled, never done anything, because he says that I'll choke him. And I tell him that I will. But we were just doing nice and easy, and I just hit a foot sweep, and for whatever reason he kind of went flying a little bit. We weren't wrestling live or anything, and he hit his heel off the ground. He said it went through the mat and hit the concrete. He was off the mat for I think a couple weeks after that, and he wasn't mad at me because he said it was really nice, but he was just mad that it had just happened, I guess, because we weren't even finishing, I don't think. And it was pretty much just a little trip, and he wasn't expecting it and kind of fell pretty hard, but he is getting old now. So
yeah, he said that last week when he was on, he talked about that specific incident and said it took him a while to heal from it. So
yeah, it did. He was down for the count. I felt horrible, but he was a good sport about it.
Mr. Sloan, I believe you're next. Who's either motivationally or demotivationally, who are you dreading working with in the room
today? No one, but when I was a freshman, Cam Simas. I'm sure Clay's will be Cam as well when he was a freshman, but that's when our culture wasn't the best, and he was making boys men at that point. And there was, you know, there's times where Cam would just bumble you, and you would try to, you know, like Cook said, leave practice, you know, quit, something. But Cam found a way to get you through the practice somehow alive. But I kind of found Cam's weakness shortly after I took some beatings, and that was to mat return him hard.
You're pretty good at that too, I must say. I do love your mat returns.
And I think the last time Cam and I wrestled, he said, "You know, you can't be on top for more than 30 seconds and you can't slam me." So pretty much it was takedowns only, and it was like a 30-minute go. And you know, Cam, he eats like crap, but he doesn't get tired. Don't know how. But that was my take. First one that came to my mind was Cam. As far as a teammate, Cook kind of mentioned, you know, Cade King. Cade King, he just wrestled hard, and he would find a way to hurt you somehow, not intentionally, but he kind of sucked to wrestle sometimes. No offense, Cade, if you ever listen to this. But
and you even had weight on him.
Yeah, I know, and I had weight on Simons too. But now Simons and I, we have a understanding of boundaries. So
no, I don't need to beat a dead horse or anything, but yeah, when we first came in, if I had to wrestle with Cam, my whole mental game plan was like, just keep moving, don't give up, just keep moving. And that's all he was really looking for. He didn't want me to beat him per se. He just wanted me to keep trying. And basically, as soon as you started putting your head down, that just made him so angry that then he would really, like, he start choking you, or like, you know, he's like smothering you with his belly and stuff like that. So then you got to fight off your back. And I mean, that was just the worst. But when I was a freshman and we had Coach Dardanes, whenever I'd wrestle with him, a lot of times it turned into a fight. I remember one time during the COVID summer, he was getting mad at me because I wasn't shooting. Well, I had hurt my knee, so it hurt to shoot. So I was just trying to pull him down to a front headlock. Well, he hates that because then his back and his neck gets sore, right? And you guys know that my front headlock's my go-to, my bread and butter. And so yeah, exactly. He's just getting pissed at me. He's like, "Would you start effing shooting?" And he takes that and smashes his tooth into my knee. And so my knee is bleeding all over the place. And we just keep wrestling. And I end up scoring off of his shot. And he's so mad. And he's like, "Takedown stays in. You keep wrestling. I don't care if you're bleeding." And so then we're out on the mat. And this next guy comes in. And I still have a scar on my knee from his teeth. It was pretty nasty. And yeah, Dardanes is just one of those guys. There were a couple practices where he just was like, "All right, grab a partner. First one to quit, then you guys can leave." And so you wrestle until somebody was like, I've had enough. And then they leave. And then you could be done with practice. Otherwise, you just had to keep wrestling. And so that was Baines. But then I know Tanner Cook mentioned Henry Pohlmeier. That was another similar instance where it was like, you're probably going to get in a fight. And that was, you know, tough. But nowadays, I think, you know, if you were to ask a freshman who they dread wrestling the most at practice, it would probably be me. We've started calling it the freshman special when I wrestle with a freshman on a hard Monday practice. And Tanner Cook was the one who said it one day. I walked out of the locker room and he goes, "Let's see, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4 mats. And if Clay's wrestling in here, we've got 5 over in the weight room, 6 over by the air dines, and 7 if you count the front entrance." And so he's just, you know, when I wrestle with the freshmen, if they keep backing up, I'll just run them right off the mat. And then we just keep wrestling in the weight room. And so, yeah, sometimes I get a little carried away, I guess.
For a moment there, Clay had a freshman's back pinned up against the new windows of the wrestling room and had a sweat streak for a little while.
Clay, you're so mean.
I know.
Do you guys think that Simez is – that you guys have became men so you guys can compete with Simez? Or do you think Simez is just getting old now?
I think he's getting old. Something's really quick. After every duel, even against Oklahoma State, I'm like, we've had a couple long talks in that locker room. Whenever things start to go south for whatever reason, when we compete there, they go really south. And we've had some long talks there. And this whole year, I mean, we've had a couple hiccups for sure. He has never once said anything negative. He's like, "I might be a little bit different. I think you guys wrestled pretty good." And the other coaches are like, "All right." And then they'd go and have their talk with us. And so I think that something's changing drastically with him. I don't know what it is. I've been trying to figure it out, but I can't quite figure it out.
So we do have a write-in question here. If you'd want to go ahead and answer this, who do you guys think would be the best MMA fighter on the team? Matthew Krill asked.
I don't know if I have an answer right away for that.
I don't know if we have anyone that's looking to get into a fight in practice or wanting to, you know, kind of you can kind of tell like some guys how they carry themselves. But I don't know if anyone comes to mind. I would say my first couple years was definitely Henry Pohlmeier. Yep. That dude, I think he did fight.
He was supposed to fight, and then he never ended up fighting. But okay. He was pretty good at it, actually. I think if someone were to train to become a fighter, I think that Tanner Jordan would do a pretty good job because you can punch him as many times as you want, and he'll probably just look at you.
You got to be a little psycho to do it.
Yeah, too. I think that Cal Swenson could probably be a good fighter if he were to train. He's pretty athletic, and he's actually a pretty smart kid when it comes to just wrestling in general. But that's like completely different. Like you don't have to be an amazing wrestler to be a good fighter either.
Danny G would be decent too.
Oh yeah. I didn't even think of that. One of our freshmen.
I've seen him do some jiu-jitsu stuff, and he doesn't look too bad once he gets down on the mat there, but I don't know how his striking would be. Better than me, I know that. I'd get tickled in the chin, and I'd get knocked out. So,
Go ahead.
Didn't that – was it Sam? He was like – would have been your guys' like sophomore year, maybe junior year? Sam Grove, that was his name. Didn't he try and go do some UFC fighting too or something?
Oh no! You know no. Who did?
Brett Bye.
I think he fought a couple times.
Yeah,
I didn't really know him too much, but
yeah, that was kind of him going out, us coming in, kind of things. Yeah. We didn't really.
I'm going to answer this and say 3 years ago, I'd say Tanner Cook,
but maybe
I think changed a little bit now.
Yeah, I thought about it when I was younger, but. I've never really been punched in the face, right? So I feel like you can't really train your jaw. I know that some of my brothers have fought a little bit, not necessarily as a sport.
Not sanctioned.
Unsanctioned. My brother Landry, he'll be up here for senior night. He doesn't go out much or do much because he's kind of a lunatic and a big boy. But I feel like I would have done all right, maybe. Now it's a little bit different after so many injuries, but yeah.
How do we make Cade DeVos more mean? He doesn't seem mean to me at all. He's an excellent wrestler. Not taken away from that, but like the guy's very smart, very calculating. I see him doing that out on the mat, but like he just doesn't seem to have a mean streak to me. Is that just me or what do you guys
see? I don't think he's not very mean either, I don't think. You know, I wrestle with him, you know, once a week, or we have this year kind of started more so in the fall was more – we wrestled more. But he's tough. Like, he's tough.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, he always gets bloody noses and stuff, and he just comes right back and keeps wrestling. I don't know if he's really a mean guy per se, but, you know – he wrestles dang hard.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, I'll say that he's mean. I don't wrestle with Cade anymore. He was we used to get after it when he was a 57 pounder, and then all of a sudden he's 2 inches taller than me, wider than me, stronger, faster for sure. And he's not necessarily a mean wrestler, but it's not worth my time or his really because he just takes me down 30 times and I'll catch him on his back once. And I just get so frustrated that I think he's mean. So it's honestly probably like 8 takedowns to 1 7-point move or fall for me. So he gets his reps in and I get one good one and then that's about it. So I get really mad about it. So I'd say he's mean to me.
I feel like Cade's mentality, he's almost like transcended the idea of being emotional while he's competing. Like he's just like in the zone and he's just like, I'm just going to do my thing. And he's very like, he's one of the most technical wrestlers that we have on our team. Just the way that he can constantly find ways to get angles and get to legs. And then, I mean, the one of the biggest improvements that he's made in the last, you know, year or couple years is his ability to just finish shots. I mean, he used to get to guys' legs and they would scramble and be stalemate. And now he gets to guys' legs and you see him score in like 3 seconds most of the time. I mean, you saw that in his match on Sunday against Missouri where he gets to that guy's leg and he scores in 3 seconds. And yeah, that's not how that went the first couple times they wrestled.
No, and that's so, not enough anymore.
Yeah.
No, I give myself a little credit for because I when he gets to my big heavy legs, he's got to work. And so when he gets them 74 pounders, it's like light work for him.
Yeah, so I think that he's kind of moved beyond being mean because he's just like, I'm just better than you, so I'm just going to beat you now. And that's kind of where he's at. So,
Chad, do you want to pull up this little thing that I wanted to do here?
Okay, sure. We're going to start with Mr. Carlson, right? Give me just a second while I pull this up here. Window, there we go. Share. All right. I think that's up.
Oh, we got we got this young little boy that we've all met 6 years ago here. This kid has went on to have 113 career wins and with only 46 losses and 48 and 22 in duels, a huge list of accomplishments that you've did over the 6 years. But if you could go back and talk to that kid 6 years later, what would you tell him to do different, or what would you tell him about this sport?
I'd probably just say, don't take anything for granted. I mean, kind of like what Teek was saying earlier is like, things fly by. Like, it doesn't seem that long ago that that's what I looked like, you know? And I didn't realize how young I looked back then. I feel like I look a lot older now. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know that I would change anything because, I mean, to be honest with you, my goal when I came to college was to qualify for the national tournament, and I thought that was kind of a long reach for me. And then all of a sudden, now I'm a two-time All-American. I mean, that it wasn't something that I, like, it wasn't even a goal because I didn't think that it was something I could do. And so, you know, the fact that I trusted the coaching staff enough, and I don't know if it's blind confidence in myself or what, the fact that I got to the national tournament and then ended up placing the first time I was there. But I feel like when it comes to the national tournament, I just, for some reason, seem to have an ability to just take all the pressure off and be like, hey, we're just going to let it fly, right? Last tournament of the year, let's go have fun. And so, you know, whatever I did back then, it worked me. And I guess there is one thing that I would change. And that would be, I didn't know after I won my blonde match against Real Woods that I had to wrestle again that night. And so I got done with that match, which took 20 minutes. And I went and celebrated. And I was calling people. And I was like, I can't believe it, right? And then after like 15 minutes of this, my coach is like, by the way, you're going to be wrestling about 20 minutes. And I was like, what? And had no idea that was going on. So then I went out and I ended up losing to that Illinois kid. And it was a match that, like, I got done with that. I was angry because I was like, I'm better than that guy. And I just lost. And so that was something I changed this time that I won my blood round match, where it was like, you know, I was pumped right away and I got back under the tunnel and I was like, got to win one more now. I'm not finishing A again, you know? And so that'd probably be the only thing I would do differently. But other than that, I've loved my time here at SCSU. So I don't want to change anything.
Mr. Tanner Cook, the long, shaggy hair boy that, I don't know. I'm not going to lie. I was thinking about today when we were doing this podcast on how much you've grown up.
Yeah, you don't have to read the whole record thing either. That's all right. Everybody listen. Hey.
You got 64 wins for this team, 36 dual wins. You got multiple accomplishments also. No one more exciting. And I think that you've been the one that has grown the most on this team that I've seen following you guys for the last 6 years. What would you give this kid for advice?
I would say as a person off of the mat, I've definitely grown. I say it all the time that I wish that I was born a few years later, so that we had the coaches at SDSU and I came here straight out of high school, because I was, you know, at a JUCO for 2 years. I came on a visit, so I could have been here with Clay and Sloan, but I came in. It was my first flight ever, and I walked into to practice. It was over the summer. It was about 100 degrees, and it was Henry Pohlmeier's on top of Seth Gross, literally choking him, and they were digging at each other's eyes. And I was like, I want nothing to do with this place. So I wish that I came here earlier, because the coaches that we have now are, I know a lot of kids that wrestle in college. I have a lot of friends that wrestle in college. I've visited quite a few schools. There's no place like Brookings or our coaching. But I guess the advice that I would give to my younger self, and Coach Hahn, if he's listening or he listens to this, he's gonna be pissed. It would have been to do the right things off of the mat. I worked hard in practice. I was forced to, for the most part, by Cam Simes. My freshman year, I came in as a 49 pounder. He told me, you're going to wrestle 165. I weighed like 160. He would lift with me. He would practice with me. He used to drop the bench bar on my chest and just like walk away. So I had to throw the weights to the side to get up. I would say, yeah, it would just be to do the right things off of the mat. I wrestled hard. I practiced hard. You know, like work hard in school, be a good person. Maybe volunteer here and there. Like I try to now, but it'd be just do better off the mat, with your extracurricular activities. Be smarter, when it comes to the weekends and whatnot. I think that would have helped me a lot if I were to just, you know, kind of keep my head on straight, I guess. Like I competed very well when I first got here. I was already 20 years old, but I wrestled really well. Like qualified for nationals, got third in the Big 12, but I was not the greatest person by any means. And I knew it. And the worst part about it was that I didn't really care either what other people thought. So I think that I've grown a ton as a person. I've grown on the mat for sure, but as a person, I would say, you have to definitely just, you have the rest of your life to do whatever you want to do. You can do whatever you want in college as well, but it's going to be fun just wrestling and being with your team. Like I have the most fun when we go on these trips, and even if I'm not winning, I still have fun. So I would say just, I guess, keep your nose to the grindstone. I guess it sounds kind of cliche, but, you know, stay focused and work hard, and the results they'll come. So.
That's a while ago, huh?
Yeah. That's quite a while ago, huh?
Yeah.
That kid wrestled in a lot of tournaments, right?
Yeah. Hey, I didn't even have cauliflower ear in this picture, and that was how young I was. I got it about 4 or 5 months later. What would I tell myself, man? You know, Clay kind of hit a little bit of it too, was, you know, his goals coming into college, he exceeded them after, you know, a couple years of being in the college room. And I had kind of the similar goals as Clay, you know, be a starter and a, you know, a qualifier and standpoint. And then you fast forward a year or two into the, our careers, and, you know, we're top 10 kids, and Clay's an All-American. I'm a blood round. You know, I make a couple junior world teams, or made a junior world team and a U23 world team. I guess just keeping my eyes open, my options open, and, you know, kind of come in each day with a purpose. You know, it's weird saying that now as we're approaching 32-33 days left of our careers, and we're keeping, you know, each day we're, you know, making the most out of it. And that's something I guess I wasn't always consistent with when I was younger, was, you know, one day I wouldn't feel like doing something, and I would just kind of go through the motions. And now it's like, looking back when I'm a redshirt freshman, you know, if I didn't go through the motions that day, maybe I would have won the blood round match or something, you know, when I was that sophomore year. So it's definitely been, you know, a lot of growth, trial and error. And, you know, everyone older than you that's gone through it tells you, and you still, you know, just kind of, you know, go your own way. And I guess advice for myself, that would be what I would do or change. But like advice for other kids, you know, I'm going to beat the dead horse until, you know, someone's like, I've had a undefeated 4-time national champ career. I mean, there's not a lot that goes wrong with that. So until someone says they've done everything they've could and accomplished that feat, then, you know, maybe I'll reconsider some advice for younger people. But that's kind of my take on my younger version of myself.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that stuff, guys, especially more personal details there. Kind of to shift gears back to where we're kind of going before. So I feel like there's definitely identity with the team, you know, very much blue collar, lunch pail, use all those cliches, work ethic in the room, and it shows all you guys on the mat. We draw way more stall calls than we give. But as far as wrestling style, I would say all three of you guys have a very unique style. So I don't know who wants to go first here, because I don't know that you can necessarily steal each other's answers. But what would you say the influence of your styles and where that came from?
Clay, you want to start?
Yeah, I can start. My style, I guess, is very similar to Cam Simes' style when he was in college. Just the way we go about it is slightly different. Cam Simes is tall, long. Like me, he's not the fastest guy. Definitely one of the strongest guy at 197 when he was in college, right? But his game plan was to wrestle really smart and really hard and get guys really tired, because it doesn't matter how athletic you are. When you're tired, you can't move the same. And so we kind of started talking. We were looking at some of Gabe Dean's matches, because although he's a lot bigger than me, we're built similarly and we can wrestle similarly. And so we were watching some of his matches, and you know, I kind of started to develop my own style, you know, using some of his stuff, using some of him stuff. Even my brother Colton, you know, he was just the classic, I'm going to get down by 2 takedowns, and then in the third period, I'm going to score 4 takedowns and somehow major the guy. You know, it doesn't make any sense, but that's just how he wrestled. And so when I kind of figured out that I had a gas tank that was a little bit unusual and that I just didn't really ever get tired, it was like, I need to find a way to use this to the best of my ability. And I don't know that I could have done that without Cam's help, because he kind of taught me how to not wrestle like it, for lack of better terms. Because I used to just, I mean, I was just full sending every situation and wasting energy in certain situations. He just kind of helped me become smarter with my wrestling. And, you know, another part of my style is my front headlock series, which is, I don't know how I got good at it, to be honest with you. I just, it's something that I do all the time, and I am really successful with it. And so that's one thing that, like, whenever I run wrestling camps over the summer, people ask me, like, oh, what, if you have advice for my kid, what would it be? It's always like, get really good in a front headlock, because if you're good at down blocking, if you're good at shot defense, if you're good at snaps, you're going to end up in a front headlock. And I looked up some statistics of the national tournament, and the number one most scored takedown at the national tournament is out of a front headlock. And so that's kind of something that I've taken to heart and been like, all right, that's something I need to develop, and I need to get really good in this position. And so, yeah, I guess that's me and my style. But
I would say mine's definitely a little bit different. So when I first got to college, I wasn't very good at wrestling for the most part. So I had to find a way to somehow score points, or hopefully put a guy on their back and be able to hold them there. Because I also didn't like to wrestle for 10 minutes straight or 7 minutes straight, right? Like, who wants to get physically exhausted and then somehow lose as well? So not only are you dog tired, but
Clay,
you've also lost. So that was one thing for me. It was like, how can I find a way to put this guy on his back and try to end the match, right? And then another thing that comes with that was, before I got to college, like I watched wrestling here and there, but I was a big fan of Dylan Ness from Minnesota. I believe he wrestled, maybe it was up until like 2014, maybe 2013 for Minnesota. And it was exciting. Like I was young then, not that young, but it's wrestling can be, it can be tough for people to watch, especially if you're not a true fan or if you don't understand like the rules of wrestling. But if you go out there and see a guy just launch somebody else and just absolutely spike him on the ground or just pin him and the other guy's like punching the mat because he just got pinned in 12 seconds. Like that's exciting for anybody in the stands. Now, has it always been successful for me? Maybe not, but it's fun for me. It's definitely fun for the crowd. I don't know. I think it's important to, that's one of our things that our coaches tell us every time before we compete. It's, you know, score as many points as you can and entertain our fans. Like people, they're buying tickets, they're paying for subscriptions to watch our team wrestle or to watch other teams wrestle. Like, why not try to be exciting? Like getting a takedown is absolutely, that's exciting. Or, you know, when Sloan just blows through a guy or even headlocks, like, I guess now he can say that he does that. But like if Bennett Berge just freight train, sorry, that took me a second. If Bennett Berge just double legs a guy through the ground three times in a row, like that's exciting. It's the closest thing that you can get to watching, you know, a fight or like maybe even a street fight in college sports, right? So it's the biggest combat sport in college athletics. And people want to see other people get physically exhausted or even like, you know, manhandled in a way. I guess that probably sounds kind of weird, but, you know, you can really like expose somebody. Like you see it all the time, especially with a guy like Clay. Like he'll wrestle a match and, you know, he might even be down at the end of the first period. And I'm sitting there with like my legs crossed, like, oh, this is fine. Like I'm completely content with where this is right now. And then by the end of the match, it's 16-4. And I'm just like, wow. Like, and that kid, like he can't even walk after. And it's just, it's exciting to watch. So that was one of the things that I think that I was after, was just trying to be exciting. So yeah.
Mission accomplished.
My style obviously is different between those two. You know, I got a little cook style in on Sunday, but
place went wild, man.
Yeah. I guess from when I was growing up, and I had no idea or realized that I was a left leg lead until like my junior, senior year of high school. And you know, for people that are right-handed, and you wrestle a lefty, it's a different feel. You know, a lot of people are right-handed. And so when you get thrown off by a lefty, it's actually kind of challenging. And I've seen the same differences when I wrestle a lefty too, is that it is a little bit harder. You know, you're used to hitting attacks on one side of the body or something like that. And so then you have to try to get to the other side of the body or try to force their trail leg up. It's different. So I kind of realized that asset later in my high school career. And I think part of that just came from how I grew up learning wrestling through my kids club, because our, you know, kids coach was a lefty and he showed everything lefty. And so when you were taught one way, I guess that's just kind of how you grew up doing it. So I think that's part of my style of my left leg lead came from, thinking back about it. When I got to college, you know, I was always pretty good at top, in high school. I hit a lot of cradles and I would do 2-on-1 tilts, but I never kind of rode that ankle ride. And I think that style kind of came from the short time I had with Seth Gross. He did a lot of that ride. And then I just kind of took pieces of all those things I've learned over the years and started making my own style. And, you know, Coach Hahn, you know, always preaches like, if you're good at something, you get really good at, or even Simez, you know? And so like, I've got a really good grip, you know, and I just use that to my advantage of, you know, you see me out there holding on to guys and they're shaking their wrists trying to get free and I'm chasing them down. That's just part of the style that I've evolved over the, you know, my college career and end of my high school career. and, you know, just maturity and, you know, nose to the grindstone and always having an open mind and wanting to get better. And I remember a specific example was the year I made the junior team. We had to go to Colorado Springs for our team camp training or whatever. And KJ, Kevin Jackson, was our coach for our junior team or whatever, representative. And some of the practices with him, with like some re-attack stuff, I've kind of, you know, I wasn't a big re-attack guy or, you know, thought of ways or to get to legs until I went through a couple practices with him before we went over to, you know, Estonia and wrestled. And so I kind of, and Cody was with me there, and we kind of jotted some notes down, and we worked on him when we got back, and we just evolved that style of my wrestling there. And then, you know, I've spent a lot of time with Cody over the years, and, you know, we have individuals on a weekly basis and just perfecting my craft and the things I'm good at. And that's kind of created my style over the last few years.
Fair enough. We did have a write-in question asking about, you know, Tanner, you talked about Bergie getting those two-leg takedowns and driving guys into the mat. Somebody here, Matt Krell's asking, do you think he'd be a multi-year national champion? The dude's super good. I think the sky's the limit. Maybe talk on that, and then who else do you think we're going to see at least podium in the next year, that we haven't necessarily talked about? And sorry, but exclude yourselves, I think.
I would be surprised if Bennett doesn't win at least one national title. I mean, the guy, he doesn't even really cut weight. Like last year, we sent him out just for a few duels, because you could do that now without burning your red shirt. And he was always the better wrestler, but he would get kind of like pushed around in some of the matches. Like he wrestled a guy from NDSU, and he was a more skilled wrestler, but he got like bullied a little bit. But granted, he was just an 18-year-old kid, you know, versus a man. And then you fast forward this year, he hasn't really gotten much bigger, and he just beats people. He just beats them, and he beats them bad. And every competition, he just gets better and better and better. And I think that's not going to slow down. That's not typically, he's not a kid that's just going to like one day say, you know, I don't really like this anymore. You know, like he works hard. He has his system, of what he does, and it's working, and it's going to continue to work. And I think that he is going to All-American this year, and it's going to get better each and every match that he wrestles. As for other guys, you know, I think that, I mean, even if you look at a guy, I could go through the entire lineup. Tanner Jordan, he's not the most athletic, not the smartest wrestler, not the fastest for sure, but he's jumped levels. When he first started being our 125 pounder, it was tough sometimes to watch even. And now, like, I like sometimes I can't even watch a match because I'm just fired right up. Derek Cardinal, another thing. You know, they get thrown in here when we're young, and it can be really hard. It's a huge adjustment. And he went from, you know, I don't think he ever cracked the rankings last year. Maybe, I don't even know if he came close. And then this year, like, he's taking out ranked guys left and right. You know, Clay's Clay. Alec Martin, same thing. You know, he was really good in high school, but last year struggled. This year, he's just taking guys out of the rankings left and right. Cal Swenson, blood round, he'll be just fine. Cade DeVos, he speaks for himself. Bennett does as well. And then Luke Rasmussen, again, every single match that he wrestles, he's getting better and better. The kid from Oklahoma State, he took right to the wire. He was getting his butt whooped, and that kid was like number 12 or 14 in the country, and he had him on the ropes. And Luke was I don't know how much weight he's put on in the last year, but he was like 200 pounds like a year ago or so, maybe a little bit more, and he only weighs like 220, 230, and he's still kind of growing into his body. So I think that as he just wrestles and gets more experience, more mat time and physical matches, he's just going to get better and better and better. So
what other heavyweights ever splayed with a guy?
And it's exciting as well. Like he's not afraid to score points, which is awesome, right? It's a lot better than seeing two guys go out there and whoever gets the first takedown wins the match because they both escape and then they just hug each other, you know? So it's exciting. Win or lose, like it's good for the sport and it's good for the fans. And he's never really out of a match in a way either, which is also awesome.
Yeah, so to answer the question of Bennett, I mean, the dude's talented, right? He's got unlimited potential, and it's, you know, I'm not going to manifest how many he's going to win or whatnot, but he's Bennett, and he's going to go out there and train, and he knows he's got a system now, right? Cook said, like, last year we threw him out in a couple matches, and, you know, he struggled, and now that year that shows the year of importance of redshirting and maturity of in guys. But he's got a great future ahead of him. I'm excited to watch him, you know, as one of the younger leaders of this team, I think. And then like Cook said, we can go up and down the lineup of our younger guys, but just some ones that pop out to me that, you know, have jumped levels and, you know, turn your head a little bit is like Derek and Alec. They're still young, and you know, last year their seasons weren't exactly probably how they wanted it, and now you know they're beating ranked guys. So I look to see those guys, you know, knocking on the podium, and if it's not this year, you know, in the next, they're before their career is over. You know, Kale's right there, and you know, Luke, he's got some development and some strength to put on if he wants to be a heavyweight, but he's got assets. Like everybody's got assets. That, you know, like I kind of mentioned earlier, if you, you know, hone in on those things and, you know, are determined to get better and really good at those things, it's really hard to stop. So those younger guys, and then, you know, DeVos is kind of a older veteran, and so is TJ Tanner Jordan, that they're all gonna, you know, they're knocking at the door. DeVos is knocking at the door. They're just gonna, it's just a matter of time of breaking through and commitment in their mindset of, I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna do everything it takes. And, you know, I guess that's what I have to speak. I don't want to speak for them, but that's what I think we see in the next, this year and next year and to follow.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Bennett is just a great example of how guys on our, in our program continue to develop, you know, because we talked about how much better he got between last year and this season. And you see that with pretty much everybody on our team. The guys that buy in get better at wrestling. And that's not something you see at every university. And so I think that's what makes our coaching staff, our program, culture, whatever you want to attribute it to, that's what makes it special here at SDSU, is that we bring guys in and they might not be the best recruit in the country, but they're going to get a heck of a lot better during their time at SDSU. And so, yeah, I mean, I think the sky's the limit for Bennett, for a lot of these guys on our team. So, yeah, I can keep my answer short because these guys said everything. So,
we're already a little past and want to be respectful of your guys' time here. So we'll go with some quick hits to kind of wrap us up here. What's, you know, not to get back to too overly sentimental stuff, but non-wrestling related, what's your guys' favorite Brookings or SDSU memories? And I'll qualify it the same because I have to do the same. You can't say meeting your wife there for married, engaged, long-term girlfriend. Can't say that because we'll make all the women in our lives happy in default and say, yes, that is the answer. But qualifier, can't say that. So favorite SDSU or Brookings non-wrestling or female related memory?
They're all great, right? I love this place. Sorry, hon, I can't say you. I know she's listening, I'm pretty sure. yeah, I mean, got engaged in the fall, and we're getting married in August.
By the way.
Thank you. You know, memories, you know, I'm an outdoorsman, so, you know, the connection of, you know, hunters and fishers that I've met, in allowing me to go with them on, you know, fishing trips, hunting trips. I've shot some nice deer in South Dakota, so that's been a really good memory, outside of wrestling and community base of, people that I've met and, you know, kind of became friends with. So that's up there, you know, shooting some pretty big deer, and it's pretty fun. I'm sure I'll have more pop up as soon as these guys go, but I mean, that's kind of
a big one. On the spot, so.
Yeah, you know, I have a hard time thinking of anything that really stands out as like a favorite memory that isn't wrestling related. Because like I think about things that I've really enjoyed. Like, I love going to our golf outing. Last year, I got to golf in it for the first time. Had an absolute blast, right? And like, we go to our GWC raffle. That's super fun. You get to see all these people who are passionate about the program. That silent raffle is pretty cool. My mom got some pretty neat stuff that I've been able to enjoy back home now. And, you know, we've had a lot of opportunities to see things, do things through the wrestling program here in Brookings that we wouldn't have had without it. And those are the things that stand out to me that, you know, made my experience special here, is just the opportunity to meet people. I mean, I'm, you know, trying to figure out what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. Well, I say the rest of my life, but, you know, right after college. And the connections that I've made through wrestling are helping me find job opportunities with my degree in meat science. And that's something that I wouldn't have if I didn't have the support system that Brookings and SDSU fan base offers. Because, one of the guys that comes to our home duels and supports us, he's like, "Hey, if you ever need a job in the meat industry, just let me know. I'll hook you up with some people." And so sure enough, I reached out to him, and now I've had a couple phone calls with people, and, you know, it's gone really well. And so that's just something that I wouldn't have had if we didn't have the support system that we have here at SDSU. So
I don't know if I necessarily have like a favorite memory either, but I mean, a lot of things are wrestling related. I guess I could just say what I like about Brookings. I've become a huge fan of Brookings. I definitely didn't like it at first, being from New York. I really like how close the community is. Like, even over the summer, there's just kind of always something going on, like within the I guess city or town. And I really like that, you know, I got to know like my neighbors. Like Jordan for a little while was one of my neighbors. And you kind of, it's a lot different out here. And you know, you can walk home from a night out and not really have to worry about anything. If you forget to lock your car or even your door at night, chances are things are probably going to be okay. So I've like grown to really appreciate that, you know, growing up in a place where it's just like, you know, you have cameras everywhere and everything's always got to be locked up. Not that that's like a bad thing, but I've just grown very fond of, you know, like the tight knit community here. And, you know, there's always like parades going on, like homecoming's like a huge thing here. They had like the downtown at sundown over the summer. Like, I've been a couple times, and it's just like, I think it's really cool to see a community that kind of like all comes together for things like the trunk or treat. Like, I'm always handing out candy on Halloween and stuff. Like, I've become a fan of kind of like, it's almost like old man stuff, but I think it's important because they don't really have it where I live. And I've become a huge fan of this place. So
yeah, that's cool. I know Jordan's got one last thing to ask too, but I want to ask real quick, Clay, what's your favorite cut of meat?
My favorite cut of meat?
Yeah.
It's
kind of off the wall, but it ties in with what you said.
Yes. It depends on if I'm going for strictly quality or if I'm going for quantity as well, because, you know, shortly after the wrestling season's done, you know, I'm going to be done cutting weight forever, and I'm probably going to go get a porterhouse steak from Outback or Texas Roadhouse or something.
Not a tomahawk like guy, huh?
Because it's got the tenderloin on one side of the bone, and then it's got, you know, some of the tougher muscles on the other side. If you just buy a filet mignon, you just get a 6 or 8 ounce filet, whereas I can get the same exact filet and then the other side of the bone that's got the tougher meat as well. And I'm going for quantity there. And so that's what I'm looking for. So yeah, I'm a pretty big fan of the porterhouse. So
right on. Sorry, that was kind of a weird question that just popped into my mind. So Jordan,
since I won't be there this weekend, since we're down in Georgia racing, I'm just gonna kind of tell you guys each what I would say to you guys after the duel on Sunday and kind of incorporate a couple little things here. But I'll start with Sloan first. thank you for everything you've did for this community and the school and everything you did for 6 years there. I mean, you'll always be remembered. I remember you were my first ever interview when I decided I was going to be a journalist. I did an article on you and everything. And through them years, I mean, we've had conversations when you're struggling and conversations when you had to go through surgery, and you, without even knowing it, probably have helped me through a lot more than you could ever even think you did. But going back to that article that I interviewed you on the first time, it was after one of your trips overseas to wrestle or whatever, and the JWC raffles this weekend. So why don't you touch on that a little bit
about that? And so I guess if anyone's listening that haven't bought their tickets, you can go, you know, if you have my number, text me, I can, or call me, I'll help you out. But the, you can go to the website. I think it's just JWC, wrestling club or jackrabbitwrestlingclub.com or something. And there is a, drop link to, it says raffle or fundraiser. And then you can go to raffle. And the raffle is this Saturday night, and their tickets are $250, and it gets you admission for you, one and another, plus one. So two people. I think it's a meal and all you can drink and eat, I think. And then there's a silent auction, and then you have a chance, if you buy that ticket, to win $10,000, you know. So, and there's door prizes. So everyone wins a prize, whether it's a shirt, hat, you know, poster, something along those lines. And then the ultimate prize is, you know, the 10,000 if you're the last ticket number called. And then there's, like I said, silent auction. And it's just a big fundraiser for, you know, trips like you mentioned, me going overseas, sending guys to Vegas for junior trials or US Open, U23s. Those are all trips that we get to do in the summer. That's funded by JWC. So yeah, if you're interested in, there's sponsorship options as well for, you know, $500 and $1,000. So.
Which those sponsorship options are really good advertising opportunities, because basically JWC is going to put out those sponsors. So if there's businesses out there that are looking to support, you know, the wrestling team, the program, us athletes, coaching staff, whatever it might be. And also, you know, so, get some advertising for your business. It's a pretty good opportunity. So
I'll go with Clay here next. Once again, just thank you for the 6 years, everything that you did for the community and the hard work and everything you put in. I mean, all three of you guys, I mean, obviously helped build that new practice facility, and you all left your legacy on Jackrabbit Nation. But, my favorite thing with you, or my favorite memories with you, is when I traveled to learn that you knew how to play the piano so well, and just all the multi-talented things you are outside of wrestling. Like, it still blows my mind that you're as good at some stuff as you are just outside of wrestling. But for you, let's just talk a little bit about the luncheon tomorrow and what that would all entail if somebody wants to go check that out.
So tomorrow at noon at Cubby's, the coaching staff is going to just gonna talk about last week's duel, talk about this upcoming duel against NDSU. And basically at that luncheon, it's just an opportunity to get to talk to the coaching staff. Sometimes they'll bring a athlete with them, one of the wrestlers. And you also obviously talk to a lot of other fans, you know, really invested. They tend to go to the luncheon a lot. And so if it's not something you've been to before, it's a good opportunity to meet people who are connected to the wrestling program and get like personal conversation with the coaching staff. A lot of times they'll answer, you know, questions about each individual athlete, how things are going for us, you know, what to look forward to in the upcoming duel and things like that. And so it's a pretty good opportunity just to go get a good meal and have good conversations. And once again, that's at 12 o'clock tomorrow at Cubby's Sports Bar and Grill here in Brookings. So
sponsor of the pod.
And then one thing here before I go to Tanner here is we also want to thank Bowen, Spencer, and Brandon for their commitment to Jackrabbit Wrestling. They weren't always in the spotlight, but they showed up to practice every day and worked hard to make everybody else better, and they'll definitely leave their legacy well here at SDSU also. Now to Mr. Cook.
Hey, Jordan, before you move on here, yeah. I just want to talk just quickly about what Brandon Meredith did this last weekend when we were out in Wyoming.
Sounds good.
So he went out there expecting to get put in a pool where he'd get two, maybe three matches. And when we were looking at the brackets, all of a sudden he noticed his name was in two different pools. And so Brandon had six matches to wrestle out of, I think there were maybe 90 matches total. And so he ended up wrestling six matches in about 2 hours and 45 minutes on Sunday. Wow. And he was just flying through them. And he was wrestling at 141. So he was, you know, going up a weight class or two, you know. And it was so fun getting to watch him wrestle because, you know, he was just having fun out there. He was letting everything fly. And so, I mean, I just thought it'd be fun to share that because usually the NCAA has a rule where you have to wait 30 minutes in between your matches. And Brandon's looking at his watch and he's like, it's been 20 minutes and I'm on the bout board two different times right now. You know, he'd be on deck on mat two and in the hole on mat four, you know? And so he was just running through matches this weekend. It was pretty fun to watch him. So.
Cool. Thanks for sharing.
So Mr. Cook, the kid that I've pretty much watched grow up, like you, as he said earlier, we were neighbors for a while, and I mean, we all got the Zach Price Day stories and everything else. And I mean, I couldn't be more proud of who the person you've became is. And thank you for always being so electric in Frost and always putting on a show. I know that you battle through a lot of things and some people don't necessarily see it, but the close ones do. I just want to congratulate you on a great career.
Thank you. And
for your deal, let's just talk a little bit about what to expect here for the Border Bell at 2 p.m. on Sunday. I do know that the first 250 fans will receive a free Border Bell keychain, and it's also called the farewell match because this is also the last Frost match of wrestling, and you can purchase tickets for cheap using the code Farewell Frost on gojacks.com, but just kind of fill us in on what everyone can come to expect to watch you guys wrestle that last time there.
So like you said, the first 250 people will get the keychains. I really hope we don't have to carry the Border Bell over there. It's pretty heavy. And to be honest, it's probably not leaving Brookings anytime soon. I'm just saying it how it is. You're going to see like our seniors, we're going to get recognized. You know, our families are going to be there. Some of my family will be here for the first time ever, which is exciting. But apart from that, like, it's going to be fun. You know, we're going to score a lot of points and it's going to be a bit of a beatdown for sure. But it sounds bad, but, being at SDSU, there's nothing more, that people like to see than us just absolutely giving it to the Bison. So you're just going to see a big whooping is really what it's going to be. I don't really know how else to explain it. I expect us to put up probably roughly 30 points as a team, which is a lot in wrestling. If I had to predict it. So yeah, it'll be a lot of fun and there should be a great crowd. Typically it draws our biggest crowd of the year. So it'll be a lot of fun for sure.
I believe we're favored in all matches except for maybe heavyweight. So yeah, I mean, it'd be nice to skunk them. It'd be nice to skunk them.
Wouldn't that be a way to go out, you seniors?
Hey guys, it'd be nice to go 10-0. Yeah.
I don't know if you have any parting remarks, but I'd sure love to entertain anything else you'd like to say. Otherwise, we appreciate your time that you've been generous to give us here.
Yeah. I'd like to just add, I'd like to thank you guys for all that you do for SDSU sports and specifically wrestling. I know I'm a little bit biased, but, you know, like not a lot of people do things like this. And I think it's important, you know, to get stuff out there like this. It really gets the fans and other people that are interested in the program to know some of our wrestlers and coaches on a more personal level. And I really appreciate what you guys do. So,
well, thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess thanks for what you guys do. Like Cook said, you know, it's always fun, you know, watching or following your guys's social media. You know, you're talking about us and stuff, but I mean, you know, my teammates that get recognition, like you guys are always on top of it and you guys do a good job. And it's fun doing these podcasts, right? It's my second one with you guys. And, you know, we've flown almost an hour and a half in and it doesn't even feel like I go another hour if you guys got questions. But,
we would too, right? Like totally would. Yeah, but we got to respect your time. But you guys got
It's fun doing these things, and it's just kind of a way that I appreciate giving back to, like, you guys and the community. And, you know, it's just a special place here that we call home and always be a home, even if we don't end up here after our 6 years of wrestling. But I look forward to, you know, coming back and supporting Jackrabbit Wrestling and, you know, Jackrabbit, you know, University itself. And, I mean, that's kind of my remarks. And I hope to see a lot of people on Sunday as it's our last duel. It's Frost's last duel. And so it's going to be exciting and emotional. So,
yeah, thank you guys for having us on. It's been a blast. And yeah, I mean, I think it'd be sweet if we could get over 2,000 fans. I don't know if we've had over 2,000 yet this season. So, you know, if we could pack that place, and it just makes it so much more fun to compete. We've got a big crowd there. And I mean, I think it's more fun for the crowd because it gets a lot more electric when things happen. Right. And so, I don't know. The goosebumps that I've gotten in that building when the crowd goes wild, like, it's incredible. It's one of the best feelings. I will say, you know, I've talked about my conditioning, my gas tank, right? And when the crowd starts getting into my match, I'm like, I could do anything for the rest of this match and I wouldn't be tired. It's just like that extra, like, energy boost where I can just turn it up another notch when we're in Frost and somebody's, you know, the crowd's yelling. So yeah, it'd be really fun to just pack that place. Like I said, my goal is definitely over 2,000. I think we can get it because, you know, it's a rivalry match. Last home duel of the season, last home duel in Frost Arena. In senior nights, you know, there's a lot of family coming. So it'd be really fun just to have a huge crowd. So,
well, hopefully all you guys AA and win national titles this year, and we can have you guys all on one last time after the season to talk about the NCAA tournament.
That'd be great.
Yeah. I don't know if Alex has anything else, but if not, I think, how about, can you guys hold on for just a second after we leave here? But how about a Go Jacks or a Get Jacked on three? Alex, you want to lead that?
Sure. 3, 2, 1.
Get Jacked. Get Jacked.